Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in the next 2 half-hour segments, we're going to continue with a years-long examination of events in and around and surrounding the P2 Lodge in Italy. The P2 Lodge was a Masonic lodge founded by former Waffen-SS officer and Italian fascist Licio Gelli, and in fact, this Masonic lodge served as a front, in effect, for a crypto-fascist government, which for all intents and purposes ran Italy for many years in the post-World War II period, and which still wields profound influence not only in Italy, but around the rest of the world as well. The implications of P2-related activities continue to reverberate throughout the world, and some of the programs dealing with various P2-related matters that I've done in the past include RFA programs 17 through 21, RFA 34, miscellaneous archive shows dealing with Operation Gladio, the fascist third position, also various half-hour segments dealing with the miscellaneous archive show, Why Johnny Can't Identify Il Duce, various half-hour segments updating things like the Vatican banking scandals, a number of new scandals surrounding Licio Gelli, the strategy of tension, Operation Gladio, and also the Order of the Solar Temple, the fascist cult that Licio Gelli also apparently had connections to. Licio Gelli's name runs throughout such things as the aforementioned Vatican banking scandals, the events in and around the shooting of Pope John Paul II in May of 1981, an event we're going to touch back on in the second of the 2 half-hour segments upcoming, where the P2 Lodge is implicated in the probable assassination of Pope John Paul I as well, the aforementioned strategy of tension and Operation Gladio, and a number of other activities as well. If some of these names do not have immediate associational value for members of the listening audience, contact a tape duplication service called Spitfire. Their address is Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. Once again, that Spitfire, one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. There's also an email address for Spitfire. It's spitfire@ix.netcom.com. That's spitfire@ix.netcom.com. There's also a list of and description of all of the various programs available from Spitfire on the KFJC FM webpage. That's my home base station in the South San Francisco Bay Area. Point your web browser at www.kfjc.org. Licio Gelli recently escaped in Italy, and that has once again sent Italian political observers to set the tongues of Italian political observers wagging, and it has also pricked up the ears and sensibilities of longtime political researchers as well. Research credit on the following goes to Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator. Dave got the following from La Repubblica's issue of Thursday, May 7th of 1998. This is an article entitled Gelli, that's G-E-L-L-I, evades arrest. It's by Franca Selvatici, S-E-L-V-A-T-I-C-I, and it's on page 25. Reads in part as follows. Just like his life, Licio Gelli's latest flight from justice remains a mystery. The order to execute his sentence of incarceration arrived via fax from the Milan prosecutor's office at 11:42 a.m. Monday, May 4th. But when the Arezzo police presented themselves at Via Wanda to arrest the venerable master, he wasn't there. He'd vanished, even though the police had been watching his residence 24 hours a day since 1 p.m. Thursday, April 23rd. Gelli's 79th birthday was Tuesday, April 21st. The Court of Cassation, C-A-S-S-A-T-I-O-N, issued its first sentence, 8.5 years, on Wednesday, April 22nd. At the time of his disappearance, Gelli was a free citizen with only two obligations, a prohibition against leaving Italy and the duty to register the Arezzo police headquarters at the beginning of every month. As of October 22, 1997, Gelli was no longer legally required to reside in Arezzo. And again, Licio Gelli, also nicknamed the Puppet Master in Italian politics, is an individual who has wielded, again, a profound influence in the post-World War II world. An Italian parliamentary commission, for example, investigating the Red Brigades, found that Licio Gelli was one of the founders of the Red Brigades, an ostensibly communist group of terrorists whose activities in the 70s and 80s had much to do with destabilizing Italian democracy. As I mentioned before, Licio Gelli had been an officer in the Waffen-SS and was an ardent supporter of Mussolini even up through the days of the Salo Republic during the closing days of World War II. More about Gelli's arrest and flight. Research credit on this also goes to Dave White. This article comes from La Stampa of Thursday, May 7th of 1998. It's on page 8. This article is entitled, Mystery Surrounds Flight of the Venerable Master. Gelli vanishes, faced 8-year prison sentence. This by Francesco Matteini, M-A-T-T-E-I-N-I. This article reads in part, Licio Gelli has evaded justice again. The 79-year-old former head of the P2 Masonic Lodge was nowhere to be found when police presented themselves Monday at Via Wanda in Arezzo to take him into custody. The ex-Grand Master was due to begin an 8.5-year prison sentence for the collapse of Italy's largest private bank. Gelli was found guilty of complicity in the bankruptcy of Banco Ambrosiano, which declared insolvency in August of 1982. According to Perluigi Del Osa, the magistrate who conducted the examination, Gelli and Umberto Ortolani obtained $140 million from the head of the bank, Roberto Calvi. By the way, the late Roberto Calvi, also a member of the P2 Lodge and a veteran of Italian fascism, had also served as the Vatican's financial advisor, and indeed the Vatican Bank, the IOR, had guaranteed some bad loans made by the Banco Ambrosiano, Italy's largest bank. And the Banco Ambrosiano scandal, in turn, overlaps numerous scandals, including scandals surrounding Michele Sindona, another P2 member who was connected with the collapse of the Franklin National Bank, and activities related to the collapse of the Banco Ambrosiano, run through the tangled story surrounding the shooting of Pope John Paul II, and also the probable assassination of Pope John Paul I as well. We've covered those in numerous programs. Again, I recommend, for starters, RFA programs 17 through 21 dealing with the events in and around the shooting of the Pope. There are also numerous half-hour segments updating many of these various scandals. By the way, I would also note the reference to Umberto Ortolani. He, too, was a member of the P2 Lodge and an individual who had many connections in Latin America, as did Licio Gelli. I would note that in addition to the Italian branch of the P2, there were key branches in Monaco, in Argentina, where many of the key officers in the Argentine junta of the 70s and early 80s were members of the Argentine branch of P2 as well. People like Admiral Emilio Messera, José López Rega, and also General Carlos Suárez Masson were members of the Argentine branch of P2, also a Brazilian branch as well. Continuing. In 1992, Gelli was given 18.5 years imprisonment, but on June 10, 1996, that sentence was reduced on appeal by the Court of Cassation, Italy's highest court. Then, on April 22, 1998, the court further reduced his sentence to 8.5 years. Gelli's passport was withdrawn in June of 1997, and he was required to register at the police headquarters in Arezzo at the beginning of every month. The prosecutor's office in Milan has issued an international arrest warrant, but it is only valid for countries that adhere to the Schengen Treaty. If Gelli fled to Brazil, Paraguay, or Uruguay, he cannot be extradited. Well, it remains to be seen exactly where Licio Gelli is currently residing and where he ultimately winds up. But there are a lot of possibilities. Some of those possibilities discussed in the following article. This article comes from La Repubblica, and research credit on this and translation credit as well goes to Dave White, as is the case with the other articles from the Italian press, and the vast bulk of the articles in these next 2 half-hour segments. Again, this is from La Repubblica, the issue of Tuesday, May 12th of 1998. This article is entitled, Gelli Has Support Abroad, by Giovanni Maria Bellu. By the way, I would note that Licio Gelli was an honored guest at Ronald Reagan's inauguration, and according to information that we presented in RFA 34, among the people who helped Gelli when he was on an international fugitive having escaped from a Swiss prison in 1983 was George Bush, at that time Vice President of the United States. Once again from La Repubblica of May 12, 1998, this article by Giovanni Maria Bellu, B-E-L-L-U, is entitled Gelli Has Support Abroad. This is on page 23. The last time anyone saw Licio Gelli was Tuesday evening, April 21st, in a restaurant in Capilona, a town on the outskirts of Arezzo. At the Acquamata, with his children Maria Rosa, Maurizio, and Raffaello, and two unidentified persons, Gelli participated in an informal birthday party and goodbye celebration with plates of fish and glasses of white wine. At 10:30 p.m., Gelli left the restaurant and, most likely, Italy. How did he do it? How did he get into Maurizio's car and go with him to Monte Carlo? Or was he escorted by someone else? Gelli, quote, has many points of reference and increased support abroad in Monte Carlo, in Eastern Europe, and especially in Romania, unquote. The risk exists that he could commit other economic crimes and use, quote, his unconditional freedom of movement to unlawfully influence witnesses and other co-defendants, unquote. For these reasons, Nello Rossi, R-O-S-S-I, and Lina Cusano, C-U-S-A-N-O, the Rome prosecutors investigating the Di Nepi brothers, have issued an international arrest warrant for the venerable master. By the way, Di Nepi is capital D-I, capital N-E-P-I. These are business associates of Licio Gelli, and we're going to come back to some of their activities with Gelli in just a couple of minutes. Continuing, most of the companies that the Di Nepis used for their series of frauds also had branches in the Channel Islands. Note again that there are many possibilities for Licio Gelli to find a hiding place, and note that the extradition treaties would only apply to those countries that have those European countries that have signed the Schengen Treaty. If he's in Brazil, Paraguay, or Uruguay, he cannot be extradited, and among others, Umberto Ortolani had very good connections in Uruguay, and Gelli has excellent connections in Latin America. Note also that there was a key branch of the P2 in Monaco, so when his son Maurizio drove to Monte Carlo, there was speculation in this article that Licio Gelli may have been with him. Gelli escaped at the same time as a key mafioso in Italy. The mafioso was later recaptured. Research credit on the following also goes to Dave White. This is from The Gate, which can be found on the World Wide Web at www.sfgate.com. Once again, www.sfgate.com. And this is an AP story, Dateline Rome, of Sunday, May 24th of 1998. It reads in part as follows. A fugitive Italian mob boss in a wheelchair was recaptured Sunday in a village in southern Spain after an escape that embarrassed the Italian government. The capture of 63-year-old Pasquale Contrera was a, quote, point of honor, unquote, for Italian law enforcement, which has gone through, quote, moments of great bitterness, unquote, recently, Italian Interior Minister Giorgio Napolitano said. Contrera fled Italy just days before an appeals court upheld his conviction and 21-year sentence for running an international drug ring. He has been free pending the verdict. Contrera was recognized by officers from Italy's Carabinieri paramilitary police and arrested in the resort of Fuengirola, F-U-E-N-G-I-R-O-L-A, on Spain's southern coast. Colonel Paolo Ganzer, G-A-N-Z-E-R, of the Carabinieri Force, told Italian state television. He said the Italian officers had been deployed in places, quote, where he could be possibly hiding, unquote. Contrera's flight came soon after the escape of another high-profile criminal, Licio Gelli, a 79-year-old financier convicted in the fraudulent 1982 bankruptcy of what was then Italy's biggest private bank. Gelli also fled while free pending appeal. He once headed the shadowy Masonic Lodge, P2, an extreme right group banned for plotting against the state. When Contrera was extradited to Italy from Venezuela in 1992, authorities said he ran a huge drug smuggling and laundering operation. Italy's High Court on Friday upheld the conviction, but by then, he was long gone. I would note that the mafioso who escaped at the same time as Licio Gelli, but the two escapes, by the way, having scandalized Italian politics, he was captured in southern Spain. And I would also note that among the aforementioned P2 Lodge not only had powerful Italian organized crime figures, but political figures, business persons, people from the press, high-ranking Italian military officers, and Italian intelligence services. And in fact, there was even what was in effect an Italian intelligence service within the intelligence service, the so-called Super SISMI, S-I-S-M-I, which was really an intelligence service within the Seize Me Intelligence Service, that had a fascist political agenda that was loyal to the P2 and which hatched a great many machinations on the part of the P2 and related fascist elements. Now, in one of the articles that I read earlier, you heard reference to the Dinepi brothers. They are two criminal associates of Licio Geli, and they've been involved with Licio Geli in a number of recent shady business dealings in Italy. By the way, a recent Geli-connected scandal in Italy was the so-called phony money or check-to-check scandal that, too, covered in a half-hour segment that's available from Spitfire. Research and translation credit on the following article also goes to Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, and this once again comes from La Repubblica's issue of Friday, May 8th of 1998. This article is entitled Bankers and Business Associates of the Venerable Master. Eschewing political affairs, Licio Geli has embarked on a business career. According to a Digos report, that's D-I-G-O-S, all in capitals, he has, quote, several million dollars, marks, and francs at his disposal in Liechtenstein, unquote. Prosecutors Rossi and Cusano described Geli as a financier who lent 11 billion lira to a group of entrepreneurs in crisis while simultaneously pouring hundreds of billions in bank credits into the group's coffers. The group is that of two Rome brothers, Settimo and Vladimiro Dinepi. Both are now in jail as the cases move forward. Beginning in 1991, the Dinepi brothers were the authors of a highly original bankruptcy scheme carried out with a system of Chinese boxes. A company would obtain financing and, before failing, would transfer all its assets to another company. The blessing of Geli, through his lawyer and right-hand man Raffaele Giorgetti, allowed the Dinepi's companies, 129 of them in all, to get bank loans, leasing contracts, and overdrafts. 40 companies failed. By the way, Giorgetti is G-I-O-R-G-E-T-T-I. Quote, Geli's intervention resulted in privileged treatment from bank officials with a predilection for Monti Di Pesci, whom the ex-grandmaster had met, unquote. And it was in this capacity of satisfying the Masonic feelings of bank employees that the, quote, old, unquote, Geli met the, quote, new, unquote, Geli. A similar thing happened in 1995 with a 100 billion lira collapse, which led to the arrest of Sergio and Giorgio Ceruti. Again, the privileges extended by the bank were extraordinary, even lavish. Following the dark Geli of the 70s and 80s, decades of coup attempts, deviated services, and illustrious corpses, is a radiant and cosmopolitan Geli. By the way, some of those coup attempts would include the Borghese coup attempt of 1970, assisted by fascist elements within U.S. intelligence. Arms for that coup attempt were provided by the SS Colonel Extraordinaire Otto Skorzeny, one of Hitler's personal favorites and later an operative on behalf of the Galen Organization and in that capacity. While directing much of the Odessa post-World War II SS underground, Skorzeny worked for U.S. intelligence. Skorzeny is dealt with at considerable length in RFA 22. Skorzeny was also involved with providing arms to the abortive Rosa dei Venti, or Rose of the Winds, coup in 1973. P2 member and former Vatican banking advisor Michele Sindona was involved with that attempt as well. Indeed, the strategy of tension received funding from some elements of U.S. intelligence using Michele Sindona as a conduit, this according to the Pike Committee's investigation of the early 1970s. And among the many activities that P2-related elements are implicated in is the kidnap and murder of former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro. And again, the events in and around the shooting of Pope John Paul II in May of 1981, something we're going to talk about in just a minute, as well as the probable assassination of Pope John Paul I, also implicate the P2. So when this passage talks as it does, or speaks as it does, of the dark Geli of the 70s and 80s, decades of coup attempts, deviated services, and illustrious corpses, it is no exaggeration. Continuing with this article, the safes of Italy's banks aren't his only interest. Wiretaps carried out during the Rome investigation revealed dealings with Russia, Romania, and the former Yugoslavia. Connections that make the former Grand Master a forerunner of the New Europe and supplement the relations he's had with South American coup plotters and ultra-fascist elements of the American services. And again, interrupting references to some of the P2 connections in Latin America and some of Licio Gelli's American connections. Bear in mind that he was an honored guest at Ronald Reagan's inauguration, was close to George Bush, and indeed an honorary member of the P2, the late Philip Guarino, was a member of the Republican Ethnic Outreach section. That is a key element of the U.S. Republican Party, which is explicitly fascist and is a direct outgrowth of not only the Third Reich, but of the fascist powers of World War II. I've dealt with that in RFA 37, and also an interview with John Loftus, the co-author of The Secret War Against the Jews. That is also discussed at a miscellaneous archive show entitled Nazis and Anti-Semites on George Bush's Campaign, that from 1988. Returning once again to this particular article about Licio Gelli, the financial wizard, with Russia, Gelli trades jewelry made by goldsmiths in Arezzo. His partner is a certain Paolo Quarantacinque, that's Quarantacinque. 2 years ago, in the middle of a phone conversation, police overheard him tell the venerable master, quote, "I've purchased the bank, we're ready," unquote. On a fax from the same period, Gelli told his Romanian partner, Carlo Giovenzano, quote, "I am not a mafioso," unquote. The Gelli of the millennium is not only a practical man, but also a nature lover. While in business with the Dinapis, he took a fancy to the idea of a company, Agricola 88, in order to realize 200 cottages in Fiano Romano in the greenbelt north of Rome, a deal worth 70 billion lira. There's only one problem. The land chosen for the village is zoned for agriculture, not housing. Gelli needed to change the town planning scheme, but how? The answer is simple, according to a couple of Dinapi's men, quote, "Gelli will install a mayor and a town council who will guarantee the urbanization of 124 acres. If, as they promised him, it's an easy job, he will pocket a tidy $30 billion. The obvious sarcasm within this article notwithstanding, it would appear that Licio Gelli continues to be the puppet master, as befits his nickname, in Italian politics. By the way, I would also note that the escape of Licio Gelli and also the aforementioned Pasquale Contrera has scandalized Italian politics, and indeed the Italian justice minister offered to quit. Research credit on the following article goes to a different listener, this not Dave White. The following is from the Financial Times of London of Thursday, May 21st of 1998. This is an article by James Blitz in Rome, and it's headlined, "Minister Offers to Quit Over Escapes," and it reads, "Italy's center-left government was badly shaken last night by a row over the escape from custody of two notorious criminals, triggering a resignation offer from the Minister of Justice. Giovanni Maria Flick, F-L-I-C-K, handed a three-page letter to Romano Prodi, the Prime Minister, saying he wished to, quote, assume responsibility, unquote, for the recent escape of Pasquale Contrera, one of the Mafia's leading bosses, and of Licio Gelli, the former Grand Master of the outlawed P2 Masonic Lodge. Mr. Prodi refused to accept Mr. Flick's offer of resignation, but anger over the escape of the two criminals, both of whom were within days of final sentencing, has been intense in Italy over the past 2 days. The escapes are widely seen to have damaged the credibility of the Italian justice system, whose complicated procedures allowed both men to be temporarily released from prison pending final appeals. The reconstructed Communist Party, on whom Mr. Prodi relies for a parliamentary majority, warned that the escape of the two men had, quote, increased the scope of a government crisis," unquote. Deputies from Silvio Berlusconi's Forza Italia party said they might bring a confidence motion in Mr. Flick to the Italian parliament. If Mr. Flick were somehow forced out, it would be only the second time that a senior minister has quit the Prodi administration since it came to power in May of 1996. Mr. Prodi's aides have long feared that the departure of any minister might unsettle a delicate balance of forces in the olive tree coalition. The escape of Mr. Contrera, deemed to be one of Europe's most powerful drug barons, only came to light on Tuesday night, within days of his expected sentencing to 21 years imprisonment for drug trafficking. The mafia boss, who was confined to a wheelchair, was temporarily released from prison on May 5th on a legal technicality, and disappeared soon afterwards. Italy allows defendants to mount two appeals following initial conviction. However, a court ruled that the delay in the timing of the drug baron's second appeal had extended the period of preventive detention beyond legal limits, and he was temporarily released the following day. The escape of the two men triggered a series of vituperative editorials in the Italian press. So please note that the escape of Contrera, who was then recaptured, and Licio Gelli has once again added an element of instability to Italian politics. And given the many, many ponds that Licio Gelli has fished in over the years, not only in Italy and elsewhere, and given his profound connections, including connections to what I call the Underground Reich, it should not come as any great surprise that Licio Gelli was able to effect an escape, and that so far he has not been brought to earth. In the next half-hour segment, we're going to be talking about events in and around the shooting of Pope John Paul II, because that investigation continues to proceed and new developments continue to come to light. I would know that Licio Gelli is deeply implicated in the events in and around the P2 Lodge is deeply implicated in events in and around the shooting of Pope John Paul II, and there's been movement, as I like to call it, in that regard as well. Now, again, if some of the names like the Strategy of Tension, Operation Gladio, the P2 Lodge, the Banco Ambrosiano, if these things sound strange or alien to members of the listening audience, the documentation concerning these vital, although not particularly well-known events, not well-known anyway in America, the documentation is contained in a series of tapes that are available, once again, from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That name is Spitfire, one word. You can contact them at P.O. Box 1179. That's Post Office Box 1179. That's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. There's also an email address for Spitfire. It's spitfire@ix.netcom.com. Once again, spitfire@ix.netcom.com. I get a small royalty from the sale of the archive shows only. I get no monies from recent, present, or future on-air endeavors. And again, there's a list of and description of the various programs available from Spitfire on the KFJC webpage, KFJC being my home base station in the South San Francisco area. You can dial up that webpage by pointing your web browser at www.kfjc.org. Once again, that's www.kfjc.org. And I get, a small royalty from the sale of the archive shows only. I get no monies from recent, present, or future on-air endeavors. That concludes this half-hour segment. In the next half-hour, we're going to talk about events, once again, in and around the shooting of Pope John Paul II, and in that very, very complex event, once again, the P2 Lodge, and in the background of that, ubiquitous Licio Gelli are implicated as well. We won't be talking about Gelli and P2 very much in the next half hour, but one should remember, as you listen to the information in the next half hour segment, that Gelli and P2, whom we've just been discussing, wind through the tale of the Pope shooting as well. And again, RFA programs 17 through 21 remain probably the most distinct and the definitive work on the shooting of the Pope. There have also been a number of updates in various half-hour segments, and again, that's available from Spitfire. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.